So Ma Tattva Das has asked me to speak about the topic of Shravanam Kirtanam, hearing and chanting. So there's a song that we sing by Govinda Das, and the last verse he says, Shravana Kirtana Smarana Vandana Pada Sevana Dasyare Pujana Saki Jana Atma Nivedana. He lists the 9 processes of bhakti, devotional service, or Krishna consciousness. And we learned from Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that of these 9 processes, these first 2, Sravana Kirtana, hearing and chanting, these are the fundamental building blocks. There is no question of going to the other 7 unless these first 2 are done. And they have to be done continuously, daily. Even you might think that you're on an advanced level of spiritual life, still, this hearing and chanting process must go on. When Hiranyakashipu, we sang the song at the end of the arati, Namaste Narasinghaya, Dravakarak. So, when Prahlad's father asked him, what is the best thing you learned in school? The 5-year-old boy said, Shravana Kirtana. He listed the 9 processes of bhakti. And then he said, this is the topmost education, this engagement in the 9 processes of devotional service. So when Lord Chaitanya was instructing Rupa Goswami, he gave a very nice description. He said that if one is fortunate, not everybody's fortunate in this world. Real fortunate person, Lord Chaitanya says, is that someone gets the seed of devotional service, technically known as bhakti lata bij. Lord Chaitanya said that this devotional service, bhakti, can be likened to a creeper. And first it has to be in a seed form, and that seed has to be planted. So where is it planted? In your heart. And who plants it? The spiritual master. So Lord Chaitanya is saying to Rupa Goswami that if someone is actually fortunate, they get the seed of devotional service. And it is the combined form of Guru and Krishna. It's not the Guru alone, and it's not Krishna alone. Both have to be there. We get the mercy of Krishna. How does someone know that they've actually received the mercy of God? This is the sign that the person has received from Krishna, through the spiritual master, the seed of pure devotion, bhakti lata bij. So Lord Chaitanya said, just like any seed, if you have a plant or a tree and you want it to grow, you have to water it. And without watering the seed, nothing will grow. So Lord Chaitanya says, the spiritual master, he plants the seed of devotion in your heart. Generally, or we can say officially, that is what we call initiation. When the spiritual master formally plants the seed in your heart. But after the spiritual master plants the seed of devotion, it is our business, my business, for my seed, for your seed, it is your business to water the seed. Spiritual master's business is to plant it. But it is my responsibility to water it. And what is that watering? Shravana Kirtana, hearing and chanting about Krishna, about God. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada has given us four main books to help us in this Shravana Kirtan or watering process of hearing and chanting. Bhagavad Gita. Here we have Bhagavad Gita. How many people are reading Bhagavad Gita every day? That's it? No good. Every day you should be reading Bhagavad Gita. Otherwise, you're starving your creeper. All right, how many people are reading Srimad Bhagavatam every day? Less even. Don't feel bad. If I do this at any temple, it'll be the same. So it's not that you're bad. All right? That's the second book. So the first book is what? Very good. Second book? All right, now the third one. Teachings of Lord Chaitanya or Chaitanya Charitamrita. How many of you people are reading that every day? Wow. Well, that's to be expected. It's the advanced book. And how about Nectar of Devotion? How many people reading Nectar of Devotion? Very good. Of course, there are other books, Krishna book like that, but that's Bhagavatam. But these four main books, Gita, Bhagavatam, Teachings of Lord Chaitanya or Chaitanya Charitamrita, Nectar of Devotion. Srila Prabhupada says these four books are sufficient for understanding the philosophy. We have to understand this philosophy of Krishna consciousness. Some weeks ago, you celebrated here Govardhan Puja, yes? I'm sure you're a temple, you do it in a grand fashion, right? Because your deity's names is? Radha. Yeah, I would think that you would do Govardhan Puja very elaborately. So, if you recall, it was mentioned, but when Krishna was convincing his father not to worship King Indra, Krishna said that some people are doing sacrifices, but they don't know the full benefit. They don't know everything about it. So they don't get the full result. Krishna was pointing out that one who knows the full extent of the sacrifice, they get the full benefit. So, we are supposed to be the movement of hearing and chanting. There are purports where Prabhupada says, our movement is simply based on hearing and chanting. Everything comes from there. So, therefore, we should know everything as much as possible about this hearing and chanting so we get the full benefit. The full benefit. What is the full benefit? Love. Love of Krishna. That's the full benefit. Prema Pumarato Mahan. One of Lord Chaitanya's main precepts that in Hinduism, in Vedic culture, you have dharma, religion. Then you have, if you're pious, if you're religious, you get economic development. With that economic development, you enjoy your life. And then, when that becomes taken care of, then you strive for moksha, or liberation. So these are the four purusha arthas, or four goals of life. But Lord Chaitanya says, but that's actually a fifth goal. Something higher than dharma, artha, kama, and something better than moksha, better than emancipation. Better than liberation. He says, pray, love of Krishna. And Prabhupada nicely explains this concept in the beginning sections of his Nectar of Devotion. Something that I very much can relate to. Because although I may look like this now, 40, 50 years ago, I didn't look like this. At least I had teeth. But I used to have hair like this and a big beard, so you can know what I was. I wasn't a yogi, no. There was a word back then, right? So, I was very much, ever since a young boy, I was very much into love. I was always looking for the perfect soulmate, the perfect love. But I didn't find it in Dina, or Linda, or Michelle, or Melody. I didn't find it. Then when I came to Krishna consciousness, I wish I was mentioning this a couple of weeks ago when I was in Arizona. I was saying, I wish I had found out about Krishna consciousness just a few years earlier. I found Krishna consciousness at the age of 22. If I had only known about it at the age of 19, oh, I would have saved myself so much heartache, so much pain. Those years, 19 to 23, oh, just torture, self-torture, chasing love, not finding it. Even though my guru, John Lennon, was saying, all you need is love. But John, I can't find it. Where is it? But then Prabhupada came and said, you are loving the wrong thing. You have to love Krishna. And this is what I like a lot. I like everything about Krishna consciousness. Everything. From the food all the way up. Right? Everybody loves the food, right? Anybody not like our food? If you don't like our food, you're in the wrong movement. Because I haven't found any... Well, yeah, you'll find one person doesn't like the food. But generally speaking, that's the equalizer. Everybody loves the Hare Krishna food. So, Prabhupada is teaching us to repose our loving propensity in Krishna. So, this is important. If we're going to love someone, the way you learn to love someone is you hear about them. For instance, you may know Rukmini, Krishna's first wife. She never met Krishna, but was it Narada Muni? Someone was describing the glories of Krishna. Rukmini decided, only Krishna I will marry. Even though she was supposed to marry someone else, just by hearing about Krishna, she decided, that's it. I must marry Krishna. And what was her determination? Her determination is, if I can't get Krishna in this life, I'm prepared to give up hundreds of lives until I get Krishna. That's what you call determination. Like, you know, in the material, you don't get that one. All right, there's so many fish in the sea. But Rukmini, she was determined. It can only be Krishna. So just by hearing about Krishna, Rukmini became so attached. So this is another reason why we study Gita, Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Nectar of Devotion, so that the more we hear about Krishna, the more we'll become attached, and the more we will learn to love. If you're told, okay, you're going to love this person, but you don't know anything about it, how can you love that person? Say, you know, in the days of your old, they said, okay, you're going to marry such and such who lives on the North Pole. Hey, can I at least see a picture? Can I, what are they like? So, we should know more and more about Krishna so that by hearing about Krishna, learning about Krishna, our faith, first is faith. First, you have to become faithful to Krishna. That's why Bhagavad Gita is so important. By reading Bhagavad Gita, you get faith. What is that faith? That faith is where Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, there's no truth superior to me. Matta parataram nanyat. Very bold statement of Krishna. Krishna in that verse, in chapter 7 of Bhagavad Gita, is saying, there's nothing superior to me. So this is important. Because if we're thinking that there's something better, then you're not going to be so attached or attracted. Ideally, a husband and wife should think of each other as this is the best. Otherwise, how can they stay focused and fixed? If the girl is thinking, I married this guy, but there's so many people better, it's not going to work. Same way with the man, right? Ideally, you get the best deal out there. So it's important, so it's solidified, that we have no doubt that Krishna is the best, He's supreme, There's nobody greater. That's what Bhagavad Gita does. Bhagavad Gita solidifies. Don't be diverted. Stay focused. Krishna is the best. There's no one better than Krishna. So that will solidify your attachment and faith. Then in Srimad Bhagavatam, we learn more and more how great is Krishna. Not just because Krishna said it, but by reading Srimad Bhagavatam, you begin to learn how it is that he's the best. For instance, my favorite book right now for the past so many years. How many people have read Krishna book? Right? Oh, good. I got a better response. Very good. How many people read Krishna book every day? I read all these books I read every day. And I'm not just saying that. I spend, and I say this in honesty, I spend every day minimum 2, 3, sometimes 4 or 5 hours hearing and chanting. Now, it's taken a long time to get to that stage, and I've been blessed by Krishna that I have a light that allows me to spend 4 or 5, like yesterday. Yesterday, because I was a little nervous, this is my first time here in San Diego, so I was thinking, I better be good. So I spent all day yesterday. My wife went out shopping, so she didn't bother me so much. So I had the whole day simply to hear and chant. So I was chanting and studying and chanting the whole day. So I felt very good. But of course, my computer didn't want to cooperate. So that was Krishna saying, nah, 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 nah. You can spend all day, but if I want to crush you, I will crush you. That's what Krishna does. He always keeps you humble. Jai Sri Krishna Bhagavan ki. So, So in Krishna book, those of you who read Krishna book, you'll see there are 90 chapters. And by reading those 90 chapters, you become convinced in every conceivable way that Krishna is all attractive. The very name Krishna. Everybody say
Krishna.
Everybody say
Krishna.
Everybody say
Krishna.
So this word Krishna, one meaning is all attractive. So by reading that Krishna book, 90 chapters, you become thoroughly convinced, oh, this Krishna is all attractive. How is he all attractive? Where is there that chapter where Krishna is defeated? Do you find that chapter? No. At the end of the score, Krishna, invincible. No, whether it be demons, did any demon defeat Krishna? No. Any demigod defeat Krishna? Krishna defeated Brahma, Indra, Shiva. Krishna defeated everyone. Krishna remains triumphant. Ajita, unconquerable. Except, actually, you could say it if you were real clever. You would say, Prabhuji, there is one instance where Krishna is defeated. The gopis. The gopis defeated Krishna. But that's all right, because that's love. We should be defeated by love. But other than that, nobody can defeat Krishna. But Krishna admitted, yes, because you read in the Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna, you should have read in Bhagavad Gita, I don't know if you're reading. But if you read Bhagavad Gita nicely, there's that verse where Krishna says, as you surrender to me, I reward you. You know that verse in Bhagavad Gita? Yeyata mam. Yeah, say it. Tam stataiva vajam. Where we're weak on our Bhagavad Gita. I'll have to come back and do some Bhagavad Gita seminars. You like that idea?
Yeah.
Tell the boss. That's called a sales pitch. So Krishna says, as you surrender, I reward. But in the case of the gopis, the night of the Rasa dance, Krishna said, you know what? I can't repay you. You just have to be satisfied with your own situation because your love for me is so great, I can't repay you. So yes, you could give that example. But other than that, Krishna is undefeated. So we read and hear about Krishna and we become attached to him. And then of course, if you do some service, that's another way. In traditional Indian families, in the past years, past ages, generally, the husband and wife, there was not so much meeting before they were married. So in the beginning, there's not much love and affection. But by serving each other, little by little, having children, and spending time and remaining faithful, the affection and love grows. For instance, the great example of Dhritarashtra and Gandhari, right? Gandhari is given as the example, most chaste woman. How chaste? Her husband was blind, so she said, "Oh, even though I can see, if I don't make myself blind, then there may be some fault in my mentality." So to keep herself devoted and submissive, she voluntarily blinded herself. Am I right? You know the Mahabharata story. So, and how much love and affection that when Dhritarashtra was doing his mystic yoga at the end of life, and when by meditation his body burst into flame, Gandhari had so much love and affection, the thought of being separated from her husband, she also entered the flames so that she could go and be with her husband. So, that is, and it wasn't artificial. Yeah, that was the whole, it was not an artificial. There wasn't somebody forcing her. You got to do it. No. She wanted to do it. It was voluntary. It was done out of complete love and affection. But that love and affection is something that builds and develops over a period of time. So by hearing more and more about Krishna, our love and affection for him grows. Now Lord Chaitanya points out that, and this is something I really, really like about Krishna conscious philosophy. Lord Chaitanya says that this love for Krishna is not something foreign. It's something that is natural. It's in every one of us. It's in every one of us. And sometimes when I'm preaching in certain audiences, I say, it's even in the heart of the devil himself. Yes. Everyone has dormant love of Krishna in their heart. The difference is, some people have chosen to awaken it, and some are remaining asleep. Some are denying it. But actually, everyone has love of Krishna. This is what Lord Chaitanya says. Love of Krishna is lying dormant in everyone's heart. Now, if you can grasp this, if you can actually handle that, if you can accept that, then that means I can approach anyone. I can preach to anyone. I can talk to anyone, and knowing that they have love of Krishna lying in their heart, it's just asleep. My business is to scratch my brain. How can I extract from them love of Krishna? And that is the art of preaching. The art of preaching is to be able to relate to someone and somehow or other inspire them, enthuse them, encourage them, joke, whatever it takes, but somehow or other get that love of Krishna that is dormant in their heart and let it come out a little bit. Somehow or other. For instance, I'll tell you what I do sometimes. Where I live, in the Los Angeles area, I live in an apartment complex. There's over 400 units. So they have a lot of maintenance workers. Most of them are Latino. So there's this one guy, he's real friendly. And over the years, he said hello, and you know, I go around like this, so they see me. And one day he came to me and said, "I hurt my hand." And I said, "Oh, no problem, give me your hand." So it was his pinky. And he said, "I've been to so many doctors, nobody..." I said, "Give me your hand." So I took his pinky like this and I said, "Now listen to me. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram." And then I made him do it too. And I said, "Now you got to do it too." So he did it in his language, his Latino language. Hare Krishna, you know, anyway. And then a few days later, he came up to me a few days later. It worked! It worked! So now whenever he sees me, he says, Hare Krishna. So I find this very significant. Very significant, because for him, this is the beginning. He's now when he sees me, he says, Hare Krishna. That Hare Krishna for him, who knows, at the time of death, he may say, Hare Krishna. And then he may be delivered. And I have so many of these stories. So many. One day, you want to hear another one?
Yeah.
All right. All right. So there's, sometimes I was going to this place, some shop, and some lady, because I go like this, as I said, T-lock, shaved head. And when the lady who ran the store, she said, oh, can you pray for me? I said, sure, what's the problem? She said, oh, just say a prayer for me. So I left the store and I just said, okay, for her, I will chant the Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram. 2 days later, I was back in that store, and when she saw me, she told all the other employees, that's him! I was like, oh, what did I do now? She goes, you don't know what happened. Right after you left and you prayed, my answer came. She was looking for somebody to, you know, hire someone to open the store, and she says, I didn't say, she said, right after I left, somebody just came, hired, and her problem was solved. So she tells all the employees, if you want something, go to him. He's got the magic wand. So the point I'm making is, preaching is the art of somehow other getting people to begin that process of understanding that Krishna, love of Krishna is in your heart. In that same store, there was an employee, young boy, and his wife was pregnant. So I said, when is the baby due? And he said, oh, within this month. So I said, you know what? Your child is going to be born on a certain date. I predicted it, and that date was Gorpani. So I said, now, if I'm right, and your child is born on Gorpani, you have to name him Gore. Sure enough, a few weeks later, I came to that store. He goes, I don't believe it. You predicted the date. I said, so did you name? He said, yes, it's the middle name, because he's not Hare Krishna, he's Christian. But he put that middle name, because I told him he had a promise. So that kid's name is whatever, Gora, and then his last name, Martinez, or whatever. So I have these things. Now everybody's thinking, after the class, let's approach Bernucci. But these days I'm charging. No, I'm just joking. No, I do blessings. So, what is the symptom? The symptom that one has heard and chanted nicely. This is an important question. How do you know that your hearing and chanting is good? The symptom is that you have a burning desire to preach. Then you know that you are doing good hearing and chanting. That you have this burning desire. This is like yesterday, as I told you, I was hearing and chanting all day. So when my wife finally came home from shopping, I just let her have it. I was just going on and on and on about Krishna is doing this and yes, the symptom that you heard and chanted is that you can't wait to tell someone about who you love. Right? If in the material world, when a boy falls in love, lust, with a girl, and a girl falls in, what is that word? Anyway, with a boy in the material world, right? That's all they can think about. They're doing their work, their schoolwork, but where is the mind? On Bobby Sue, on Jimmy. Because that's the nature of love. And at first opportunity, that person just wants to tell somebody about their love. This person is so great. So when you love Krishna, you naturally want to tell everyone about Krishna. That was our Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada came to America on the order of a spiritual master. But he wanted to give us Krishna consciousness. He wanted to give us love of Krishna. And he was willing to tolerate so much suffering and so much adversity, so much negativity. But it didn't matter to him because his love for Krishna was so great that at any cost, any price, he wanted to give others this thing that he had, love of Krishna. And it all begins, if you want to begin, it begins with nicely hearing and chanting every day. As I preach a lot, I say to people, make hearing and chanting your priority. Like most people in other religions, and they'll go to church or temple or mosque, maybe one day a week. Right? Because they have so many things to do, family, business, make money, and pressure and all. So, but if they're pious, all right, one day we'll set aside for God. We'll give him an hour. God gets an hour every week. All right, the TV gets 24, but God gets one day, 1 hour a week. All right? So, when you are in Krishna consciousness, then Krishna consciousness, 1 hour, no, 24 hours, every day. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya, every day. And you make, in Krishna consciousness, you make your hearing and chanting your priority. A businessman, what does he make as his priority? Profit. Bring home the profit. For you, I am making no profit. But you know damn well he's making a profit. Anyway, when you're a devotee, you make hearing and chanting your priority. Just like a fish. You take the fish out of water, he's flapping and gasping. There's only one thing that fish wants. Put me back in the water. So when you are addicted, yes, I can say I am addicted to hearing and chanting. In this computer, let me show you my favorite picture of my spiritual master. This is my favorite picture of Srila Prabhupada. Can you all see? Yeah. That's my Prabhupada. Look how he's chanting. On my website, I have a caption under here. The world's greatest singer, Srila Prabhupada. This is how I want to be in Krishna consciousness, like this. Intense. Like that. That's how you... That's real chanting. Intense. He's got every ounce of his energy and emotion he's putting into it. So, making hearing and chanting your priority. My previous guru, John Lennon, when he met Prabhupada, he asked Prabhupada, how do you know who is the real guru? Because back then, 1969, there was this guru, that a different guru was coming from India every week. And it was like, you know, who's top of the charts right now? So John Lennon was confused. Actually, he thought Yoko was his guru. So, he asked Prabhupada, how do I know who is the real guru? I love Prabhupada's answer. Because at that time, John Lennon was getting into heroin. So, Prabhupada, how did Prabhupada answer him? Prabhupada's brilliant. He's the best preacher. If you want to learn how to preach, study Prabhupada. How many people listen to Prabhupada tapes every day? Ah, very good. Very good. Listen to Prabhupada. You like that bell, huh? Yeah, I'm famous for the bell. So, how do you know Prabhupada? So my point is, if you want to learn how to preach, just listen to Prabhupada. He'll teach you. So, when John Lennon asked Prabhupada, how do I know who's the real guru? Prabhupada knowing, Prabhupada said, find that person who's most addicted to Krishna. Not Yoko or heroin. Who is addicted to Krishna? That's such a brilliant answer by Srila Prabhupada. That's the guru. Who is the most addicted to Krishna? So, we want you're going to get addicted to something. That's the human nature. Either it's going to be Starbucks, or cigarettes, or TV, or sports. There are people, you know, you all know there's people addicted to sex. People are addicted to something. So might as well get addicted to Krishna. Yes, get addicted. Look, isn't it? Look how nice Krishna is here in your temple. If you're going to get addicted, that's who you want to get addicted to, Radha and Krishna. Yes, and make hearing and chanting the first and most important thing you do every day. If you do that, then you will be so happy, so ecstatic, you'll just be the happiest man on the block. Everyone raise your hand. Let's chant now like Prabhupada. Oh, turn it. Now let's all chant like him. Please repeat, Hare Krishna!
Hare Krishna!
Hare Krishna!
Hare Krishna!
Krishna Krishna!
Krishna Krishna!
Hare Hare!
Hare Hare!
Hare Rama!
Hare Rama!
Hare Rama!
Hare Rama!
Rama Rama!
Rama Rama!
Hare Hare!
Hare Hare!
So how did I do? So do we have questions, Matak Vadas? What are the questions? Anybody? Usually people don't have questions because my preaching is so simple. Oh, we got somebody. Yes, Prabhu?
In the beginning of the class, well, thank you very much, Prabhu. Very, very much. You said that the spiritual master and Krishna give you the seed of bhakti, and then in the latter part of the class, you emphasize that the bhakti or the Krishna consciousness is already there in everyone. Do you mind just...
Yes, but I also said it's lying dormant. So we have to be reawakened. Okay? On our own, that's not going to happen. So even though it's there, it's asleep. Right? Just like every day when Krishna is sleeping, Mother Yashoda comes in and wakes up Krishna every day. Okay? Krishna doesn't want to get up. Because I can't say it. Anyway, Krishna doesn't want to get up, and he's pretending to be asleep, but he's not really, but he doesn't want to get out of bed. So Yashoda has to figure out a way to get Krishna up so he can eat breakfast and begin his activities. So this love of Krishna is lying dormant. So Lord Chaitanya then just gives us this analogy. It's just like a gardener. So the spiritual master reawakens that dormant love of Krishna by planting the seed of devotion. And like a gardener, we have to water it. Good enough?
Yeah.
All right. What else? Yes, sir.
You said that who wants to preach is the... he has a very addicted to Krishna. If you are not preaching, you're just chanting. Did I understand your...
Okay, what I said was... How do you know? See, what I like about Krishna consciousness, there's a phrase in the 9th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, pratyakshavagamam. Pratyakshavagamam, which means Krishna consciousness is directly perceived by you. You don't need a certificate. You don't need the American government to substantiate, oh, you are Krishna. No. That's like when we take prasad. Do you need anybody to tell you that you're enjoying the prasad? It's a direct experience. Am I right? When you're eating prasad, you know this is good. Right? You don't need anyone to tell you. You have direct experience. So Krishna consciousness is like that. It's a direct experience. So my point was, what is the direct experience of someone who's nicely hearing and chanting? And I said... The proof is that you have this burning desire to go out and tell someone else about that who you love, Krishna. Does it make sense to you now? Is okay? Good luck with your hearing and chanting. And someday you'll be sitting here. Jai Ho. What else? Oh, yes, yes.
Prabhu, you said one of the conversations that when you die, you just utter Hare Krishna,
yes.
Hare Krishna. So, doesn't matter what you do the whole entire life, just one time in the last.
So what are you thinking? You're thinking, oh, I like that. Let me go and do anything I want. So you want me to just expound on that?
Yes,
please. Okay, so here's the thing. Krishna says, it's not me, Krishna says, in the Bhagavad Gita, that anyone who can remember him at the time of death will go to him. Have you read that in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 8?
I heard a lot of times.
Well, you need to read Bhagavad Gita so that you know. All right, you should know Bhagavad Gita, right? Everybody's going to start reading Bhagavad Gita every night, right? Okay, when I come back, whenever it is, I'm going to ask you, who is reading Bhagavad Gita? That better be more hands. Otherwise, I'm going to get you ready! And chastise you! Just joking. As you can see, I'm an entertainer. So, Krishna says, anyone who can remember him at the time of death comes to him. So now let's take your point. Your point, someone hearing that will say, oh, I like this religion. I can do anything I want, and I just have to remember Krishna. Not so easy. It's still there. But the way the life is, the way human nature is, you'll be lucky. You'll be so lucky if living a life of sin and you think at the last moment you're going to remember, doesn't work that way. Because you're forgetting Maya. Maya don't play nice. Maya doesn't say, oh, way back when, 40 years ago, you thought that you will remember Krishna's name, and then you, for 40 years you were doing nonsense. Maya says, I'm not going to allow you. I don't play like that. I'm not nice. So that's not a good gamble. That's not a good gamble. You might be that lucky, but I wouldn't bank on it. That's not a good sound investment. Right? Say you're going to school. Okay, so you're going to university. So someone may say, I'll just study the night before the exam. Does that work? Not really. Right? Especially if it's a serious course that you're going to spend the whole semester partying. And I'll just cram the week before. Good luck. I don't think you're going to get very good. So this life is the same way. We forget that we are so vulnerable, so impressionable, and the material energy is so powerful that if we purposely deviate, the ability to remember Krishna becomes less and less and less. Why do you think we're spending hours a day chanting? Why do you think Prabhupada insisted 16 rounds every day? Because what you're thinking, not just you, people will think, oh, I just have to remember Krishna at the time of death. Good luck. Even people who have been practicing daily for years and years might have a hard time remembering Krishna at the time of death. So we try to, you know, like you see people, right? They don't usually buy just one lottery ticket, right? They buy several, don't they? But we don't buy lottery tickets, right? No, well, there are people besides that do. But you see people, they buy 5, 6, 7, 8, 10, you know, 50 lottery tickets, you know. So, don't be lottery with this. Practice remembering Krishna. Just like my wife, she's a good example. She's driving the car. If somebody cuts her off, Hare Krishna! I'm so proud of her. But somebody else, they won't say that. Well, you know what they say, right? They're driving you, somebody cuts you off. Krishna is the last thing that comes out of some people's mouths. You can't say it in the temple. But my wife was good like that. As soon as, Hare Krishna! So, and what do? If I sneeze, Achyuta! Did you hear what I said? Achyuta is the name of Krishna. When I used to work a regular karmi job in the years 1986 to 1995. So I had an office, and I used to chant all day, and I did my computer work, and I was also chanting. So if I had to answer the phone, instead of saying hello, I would say, Haribo! And they would say, but it sounded like he said hello, but it wasn't. One time I was in the elevator, and there was all these foreign exchange people from different countries. The elevator was full. So there was like couples, And they were each speaking a different language. Like you had one couple speaking French, another couple. And I said, oh. So I just started chanting Sanskrit mantras from the Bhagavad Gita. Some of them are pretty good. They were speaking gibberish. I might as well speak gibberish. Then, as I said, I used to chant Java. I used to use a clicker. You know, I'm sure you know what it is, a clicker, right?
Yeah.
So I was doing accounting work, simple bookkeeping. So on one hand, I was, you know, entering, you know, whatever. On the other hand, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So in the office, there was an intercom. So if somebody pressed the button, they would immediately enter my office. So one day, I was chanting, and one of the sales guys, he heard me, so he was going, he was trying to imitate my Japa. Anyway, the point is, chant the holy name, chant the Hare Nama Eva Kevalam. And don't, because the thing is, you don't know when death's going to come. Ah, it's another miscalculation. Everybody thinks, oh, I'm going to die when I'm old. Prabhupada said, you're already old. And we don't know if we're going to live another... I'm back. So we have to practice remembering Krishna now. Prabhupada mentions that in that purport of that verse, Bhagavad Gita 8.5 and 8.6. What was the number? Bhagavad Gita chapter 8.5 and 6. Those are the two verses. Prabhupada mentions that we have to practice remembering Krishna now, because you don't know. You don't know. There's no guarantee that you're going to live to be... And we're not as fortunate as Maharaj Parikshit. Maharaj Parikshit got noticed. Oh, you have 7 days. I don't even know if I have 7 seconds. So Krishna consciousness means now. John Lennon wrote a song called Instant Karma. So I say no, instant bhakti. You have to practice remembering Krishna now by chanting, everybody...
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Anything else? Oh yes, go ahead.
Thank you. I like how you're inspiring us to be a little brave and during the day just to say Hare Krishna to everyone, like Lord Chaitanya asked, and muster up some courage and do that.
Yeah, you'd be surprised. You'd be surprised. Not you. But I use this expression, it's time to come out of the closet. Be proud. I am a Hare Krishna. As I said, I go around. If I have to go, I go like this. Yeah, sometimes you're going to get a weird look. And I just say, that's your problem, man. I'm happy. I'm not ashamed. I am very proud of being a Hare Krishna. And I say Hare Krishna and Hare Bol. Oh, yeah. There was this one place that I go to, and they're Japanese. So they were Buddhists. So I said, oh, you're a Buddhist. I'm going to teach you one mantra. So he's like, oh, good, teach me. I said, Om Buddhaya Namaha. Because they follow Buddha. So I taught him. So every time I would go there, he would say, oh, Om Buddhaya Namaha. Then I taught him a new one. I said, now I'm going to teach you the next mantra, Hari Bol. So now when I go there, every time he sees me, Hari Bol. And I said, oh, Hari Bol is like yes, it's no, it's maybe, it's goodbye, it's everything. Every answer can be Hari Bol. So now every time he sees me, Hari Bol. So preach on. Be proud, be bold. Hari Bol! Everybody say Hari Bol!
Yes.
Enough nonsense? Yes. You got to stop me now, otherwise I won't quit. Thank you very much. All glories to this concept.